This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way.
So why are we talking about Friends season 1 episode 10, the one with the monkey? You may
because
be asking.
I mean there's Christmas stuff in the background.
There is. It's definitely more of a New Year's Eve episode, admittedly.
Definitely.
But
yeah.
So here's the deal.
Go for it.
About a month ago, a friend of mine unexpectedly passed.
Yes.
And in an effort to maybe cheer myself up, I had been hearing about a podcast that had ended years ago called The Best of Friends, where it's three comedians similar to Gilmore Guys, where they were all rewatching every episode of Friends and doing a podcast about it. So I had the first six seasons of Friends on DVD already. And I thought, OK, well, this is a good enough excuse to actually rewatch those DVDs and then get the last four seasons on DVD. And like, it'll be something that's light. It's easily digestible. So literally when I was struggling to come up with something for us to talk about, I was like, I don't know, I'm about to watch that Friends episode that came out, the first season that came out in December. Let's give that a shot.
And I think we kind of gotta like explain that. When you say, and we've talked about this before, of running out of things to talk about, as in, like, it's hard to kind of tiptoe around the heavy hitters, and not talk about the heavy hitters when we're approaching the season of heavy hitters. We don't want to, for lack of a better term, I'm sorry, blow our load too soon.
Exactly. I mean, we're about to hit, there's going to be like four or five weeks of like spooky Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
And then a whole bunch of the heavy hitters for two straight months.
Exactly.
Not to even mention the fact that we're going to have to be keeping our eyes peeled and our ears to the ground on like new Christmas stuff dropping that we might want to record extra episodes of for January and February. And then, you know, like I would say from the October to early March portion, it's like, okay, I know kind of what we can do in that field. And even the summer, we can kind of find weird summer ones. That's like, you'll notice we do more music related stuff, or we'll do like this, that, and the other thing. But that September and April to May are like, they're real tough ones to, to figure out what we're going to talk
about. It is very much like, we don't want to talk about something, we don't want to waste, and I hate saying that, but let's be honest, guys. There's a lot of people that specifically listen to this podcast during those peak Christmas months, which is totally cool. Thank you for listening. Amazing.
And some of you are listening to this episode now in December.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like they go through the whole back catalog, but we don't want to be throwing, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the claymation film in the middle of June. You exactly. know what I mean? Like that's it's going to do no one any favors.
Exactly.
So what is your thoughts on Friends? Because I've always been kind of lukewarm to the show, if I'm being totally honest. Actually, that's not true. I loved the show as a kid.
Yeah.
Around middle school, I stopped watching the show. And then I tried to revisit it in college and it just wasn't hitting for me. But I had already bought 6 DVDs.
Yeah.
So like I pushed myself through it. But this time, I will say that this time that I've been watching it, I've been enjoying it for what it is.
Yeah.
Like I'm meeting it at the level that it's at, which is like I told someone one time that I don't think that Friends is as funny as some people make it out to be.
Yeah.
But I understand why Friends was as popular as it was at its time because of how like easily digestible and playing to like the middle of America its humor is. And yeah. it's kind of the same thing where it's like Friends was just kind of what the Big Bang Theory is now, or
yeah.
what like
I'm gonna touch on that.
Two and a Half Men were like, you know, it's this very easily digestible. You could jump in really at any episode and very quickly understand who the characters are, and the jokes don't require a ton of thought versus stuff that you and I lean towards more, like in Arrested yeah. Development or a Community, where it's yep. like you really need to be like following these yeah. characters' story arcs to truly appreciate it.
So Friends to me, which if anybody's listening, you're curious and you really want to binge watch Friends, it's the only thing left on HBO Max right now, as they are just pulling things off and destroying it and canceling things on yeah. HBO Max. Friends to me was kind of the opposite. I didn't like it as a kid, but again, you got to understand that like as Friends was coming out, I was like 7. Like yeah. I was 7, 8, 9.
I'm
10
pretty
years
sure
old.
Last season aired when I was getting ready for college in 2004.
Yeah, so I would have
been
12.
You would have been in middle school or yeah. something. Yeah.
So Friends was up there as a kid as the same as like Seinfeld. Like I'm like, "Fuck, I don't want to fucking watch this shit." Like these are the shows coming on at 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. My ass this just signals that I'm going to bed and I have to get up for school tomorrow. Like that's it. So I didn't like it. I didn't hate it. It just wasn't something I watched. And then I watched a little bit of it. I actually watched a decent chunk of it with an ex of mine, and I ended up liking it fine. And then I hadn't seen anything involving Friends for 5, 6, 7 years until you were like, "Hey, watch this." And I'm gonna be honest, the best way I can describe Friends is Friends is a warm blanket.
Yep.
That's my thing with Friends and with Big Bang. Like I have friends. Like I really don't want to use it. I have friends who will sit there and be like, "Fucking Big Bang Theory, that show sucks. Have you ever seen the YouTube video where they take out the laughter track?" And I'm like, "Well, like, yeah. I don't think they made it for us. Like no. like they it was it's not a show for us, but it's a show I could totally throw on." And
yeah,
and,
I enjoy Friends more than I would enjoy Big Bang Theory for sure, or yeah. or Two and a Half Men. And but I think Big Bang Theory falls into a different category also, because I don't know about you, but I was going to hate Big Bang Theory before I had watched a single frame of it, because yeah. so many people were like, "Oh my God, there's this show. You're going to love it. They're yeah. nerdy like
you." Because you're nerdy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, exactly. And that was my thing. And that's kind of how my parents were. They were like, "Yeah, you should watch this show with us because you're into this stuff too." And I'm like,
but then you okay. watch it and you're like, the people who are writing this aren't into this stuff.
Exactly. Like that. Exactly.
And it shows in like every line of dialogue. Whereas Friends, I don't have to worry about that because it's not about something that yeah. I care about. So
I did
that they don't know what they're talking about doesn't bother yeah. me as much.
I did realize, like, once again as I was watching this, that like, God, laugh tracks do not age well. Like
no.
I just like they're just such a product of their time, and it's crazy the things that they put laugh tracks on that I'm like, that wasn't funny. Like,
yeah. Oh God.
Why
it's,
are we
it's
laughing
really bad.
At this?
So So let's go through a little bit of the episode. I do think it's worth noting that this was voted the number one best Friends Christmas episode by a couple different polls, which doesn't say a whole lot because, as we've said, barely even a Christmas episode. Yeah. But it starts.
So are
off,
there other ones? I don't remember.
There are other ones, as far as I know. I'm only on season two, so I've still got eight more seasons.
I wouldn't mind going back. And honestly, like, not. It's not a. I don't think it's a binge show. It's a background show. Like, yes. I think I could, like, throw it on and be doing other things and just pop my head up and be like, okay.
Watching it with a podcast is the perfect way to watch it because they do two episodes an episode. Like, their podcast episode covers two episodes of Friends.
Yeah.
So it's like, I am only on the hook to pay attention for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I can just go about my day and then listen to their hour discussion of those 45 minutes. And then the next day, I'll watch two more episodes. Like, because you're right, it's not a binge-worthy show to me.
No.
It's not a show where I'm going to sit there and just, like, not get off my couch and be like, oh, man, I can't wait to see what happens next. But right out the gate, I mean, if there's any Christmas in this, it's in the first 5 minutes for sure, because they're fucking stringing popcorn. It starts snowing outside. Ugly naked guys hanging up some, like, stockings. And, like, there's, like, a bunch of different stuff happening. And then one of the most debated things amongst Friends fans, was it a good or bad idea to introduce Marcel, Ross's pet monkey, just 10 episodes into the show?
So I would argue that Ross
is the worst. Yeah,
is the absolute fucking worst in this entire series.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like, he is the most obnoxious.
He's manipulative. He's whiny.
Yep. He takes every situation and turns it into an 11. Like, I could never see myself being friends with someone like that.
So here's the problem, though.
You're like, I'm Ross. Like,
no, he is the character that the most people are like when they're like, you know what friend you remind me of from Friends?
I don't see that.
I think it's because it's definitely through my family. Okay. My family sees Ross in me more than anything. I mean, I guess if the other options are Joey or Chandler, like,
yeah, like I'm like in the grand scheme of these. I guess. So, like,
but like the example they always give is the pivot, like the scene where they're trying to move
the
couch
the
and
pivot,
freaking
dude.
Out and screaming pivot. Like, that would be me. And that has been me this summer. Helping
dude,
them,
every
like,
time I move something, someone has to make a fucking pivot reference.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that. I'm not making a pivot reference. I just mean straight up, like, my dad has had three different projects at their house.
Yeah.
And I have become Matt the foreman on all of them, where I'm like walking around with the instructions and being like, no, you're screwing that in wrong. Like, and I'm like, because I am a bit of a control freak in that sense, because I just don't want to have to do it a second time. Like, it's like, get it right the first time.
I get
so
that.
We don't have to take this shit apart and rebuild it again.
So tell me about, what is the Marcel controversy?
I think it's just that this show, as far as I understand, it's one of those things where it's like, this show is supposed to be somewhat grounded in reality. And you're bringing in a guy.
It's a very jumping the shark moment in season one.
That's like, what I'm saying. Like, that's what people's perspective is. Is it's like, I think there was a. Let me pull it back up. I just saw a review that said it really well. Entertainment Weekly gave the episode a B. So this is at the time that it came out, and said that the episode introduces a monkey that, and then in quotes, is perhaps Friends' biggest blunder so far, forcing a comedic mind like David Schwimmer to have to do comedy opposite a simian. Is absolutely beneath him.
That's such a great quote.
Let's see. The episode also illustrates the writer's tendency to overplot, such as having Rachel get into a cat fight at the airport, and the multiple storylines that just never quite gel properly. Still, any episode that gives us a Phoebe center stage is always going to be bumped up at least one grade. And I agree. The highlight of this episode, and I wrote down the lyrics, is Phoebe's Snowman song.
Yeah, Phoebe's Snowman song.
It was, I made a man of eyes of coal and a smile so bewitching. How was I supposed to know that my mom was dead in the kitchen? La 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 la. Which I think is extra funny because, Dylan, This was folk punk before you and I knew what folk
punk
was.
Dude, you're fucking right, man. I would listen to the shit out of this, man. I would.
You throw Harley Poe in the front of that, and I'd be like, this is the greatest Christmas song of all time. Would you guys talk?
Yeah. Between that, or you need some, like, witchy vocalist, like... Yeah. And my mom and dad in the kitchen, like, as they're fucking playing the acoustic. So good, man.
I think someone should finish the lyrics to this and absolutely
do it
as like a straight up song. Yeah, let's, I guess we could. You and I have the skill set to be a folk punk band.
100%, dude, which means we don't need any at all.
No, not at all. But you know what's the other really exciting thing in this episode that I always forget about? Hank Azaria. Major guest appearance from Hank Azaria. Shows up with a line. He is the storyline.
But what's insane to me is, like, I feel like we fast tracked this storyline that I feel like would have had more impact if this relationship had lasted a little bit longer. Like, well, maybe if we could have brought Hank back for like a couple episodes, but this really went from 0 to 100 in the relationship. Again, we fast tracked the relationship from 0 to 100 and then, like, oh, I gotta leave. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, a lot of shit is happening over what is supposed to be approximately 2 weeks.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? Like if we're assuming, because this aired on December 15th. So if we're assuming that is when this episode starts off and then takes us to New Year's Eve, that is 16 days.
Yep.
that is 2 weeks and 2 extra days of spare change.
Yeah.
Right there. Like, it's not enough for me to be like that invested in, like, oh no, not the love of Phoebe's life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If you like music and you like podcasts and you like to laugh and you like to learn, you need to immediately subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Each week on the One Hit Thunder podcast, we dive deep into the story and back catalog of a one-hit wonder band or artist. From there, we have a good, healthy discussion as to whether they brought the one-hit thunder or were nothing more than a one-hit wonder. We have a huge back catalog, and we've done episodes on everything from Don't Worry, Be Happy and the Macarena to King of Wishful Thinking and Cumbersome. I promise you're going to love the show more than Jaquan loved getting tipsy, and even more than Bobby Boris Pickett loved making alternate versions of the Monster Mash. Subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your podcasts.
The other thing that this brings up is an issue that I used to care about a lot more than I should have, which is the New Year's Eve kiss, which I have never had a midnight kiss in my New Year's Eve celebrations. But when I was in college, it was like this bummer. And now I'm just like, I don't fucking care. Like,
who fucking cares, dude? It's to the point where they were all like, let's just kiss randos. Like, why would you want to do that?
Yeah, they're 25 years old. You should be beyond the, like, oh, the pressures of having someone to kiss on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Like, and like, Chandler's kind of a dick, like, in, especially in this one where it's like, again, like, it's brought up that he has invited his ex-girlfriend to this party.
Yeah, his most iconic ex in the history of the show.
And I know he's like, I snapped. Fuck you, dude. Like, you knew, like, you inviting this girl to this party was going to make her think that you wanted to get back with her.
Get back together. But the thing is, and this is something that I've noticed in my watch right now, is, like, Janice is annoying for sure.
Yeah.
But she's actually a very good girlfriend.
She's so, like, caring. Like, she's so caring.
There's like an episode, like literally 2 or 3 episodes earlier when they first introduced Janice, where, like, he doesn't get a job that he wants and she buys him a pair of Bullwinkle socks to match the Rocky socks that he has.
That's,
and it's
adorable.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, that is a very sweet thing that, like, any girlfriend, you'd be like, oh my God, babe, you love me so much. Like, you know, like, I have, like,
and you look at this, you're like, bro. All right, so she has an annoying laugh. Okay. Joey's misogynistic. Ross is annoying as fuck. Like the amount
you're surrounding yourself by terrible people already. Yeah, she can't
exactly.
be anywhere.
Exactly. I don't get it. I don't understand.
the Joey and single mom story is easily the most forgettable plot point in this episode by a large margin. Although I guess also, yeah, the Rachel one is like, I hate the Rachel storyline.
It's so strange. I don't understand. Like, it literally came out of left field. At one point, it was his name, Pablo.
Yeah.
At one point, Pablo wasn't coming home. Then he is coming home.
Then
he misses his flight. She gets beat up by some woman at a taxi. We see none of this happen.
By the way. This is all tell, no show.
Yeah. It's so fucking strange. Like, why is this even there?
But you know what I do love in this?
Go for it.
I love Monica's story of fun Bobby.
the guy that everybody...
But I love the concept of like, oh man, this is the guy that's going to light up a party. Everybody loves when fun Bobby's in the house. And then he just shows up. He's like, so my dad died. And it's just like the most depressing person in the party is the one whose name is fun Bobby or whatever. Yeah. It's like, because have you ever had a friend that's had kind of a nickname on that level?
I don't think to that level. No.
Like, I remember in college, my freshman year of college, there was a guy whose nickname was Sick Dan, because that dude was fucked up. Like, when Dan, like, showed up at a... And he leaned into it. Like, that's the thing I love about at that time. It's like, dude is 21 years old. He's got the nickname Sick Dan. So, of course, he's, like, writing blog entries about, like, taking a shit in the middle of an apartment complex parking lot because, like, he couldn't find a toilet. Or, like...
Was this, like, around, like, the peak Jackass?
Oh, one, this was 2005. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
this was Viva La Bam.
This was Viva La Bam time. He was like, I remember the very first time that I met Sick Dan, it was on campus, and he gave me a tour of every spot that he had had sex on our commuter campus. Like, he's like, there was there. And I was like, this guy's making up shit. And then, like, I won't say that I personally witnessed it, but like,
who was having sex with this guy?
Yeah. But then I would meet girls who I respect it, who absolutely wouldn't say that they had sex with this man if they didn't actually have sex with this man, who were like, oh yeah, me and Sick Dan like had sex in the library basement. I'm like, what?
Why?
Like,
why?
It's that confidence, Dylan, that you and I lack sometimes.
I don't get it, man.
He just wrote, I remember my fridge at one point, because he would come over to my house all the time. My fridge was filled with stolen sushi from Wegmans.
Yeah.
Because he would like hold the container in just a way that when he was weighing the container at Wegmans, it like wouldn't register the weight properly and charge him like 15 cents for the thing of sushi. Or like, I think it wasn't even that. He just walked in with a Wegmans bag and then just loaded it up and would just walk out as if it had been paid for with an old receipt for that amount of sushi.
Listen, I know how this sounds. Like, I'm backing up a little bit. This is not a, like, oh, girls only like the asshole guys. They don't like the nice guys. But the guy would shit in random places.
Yeah. And write, like, a blog about it.
And I don't understand. Like,
he sent me photos of that as evidence.
If my option is to have sex with this person who didn't do that, or have sex with a person who did do that, I'm picking the person who didn't do that. I don't think we're just a rare breed, Dylan. There's any amount of confidence.
In 2005, we were in the minority, my friend.
And that's the thing. Like, that is such a weird time where people are like, yeah, that guy shits in weird places. He's cool as fuck. Like, let's hang out with them.
Yeah, but now, and for
and
real,
now look, look at people. Look at Bam now.
Yeah, it was literally one of those situations. I'll tell you one other thing about Sick Dan. Oh, God, I hope he never hears this episode because he is a good guy deep down. Yeah. But like, it was like one of those things
what
where it's
Sick
like,
Dan?
Oh,
I hope I meet
like,
you.
It was like, hey, we're throwing a party. And it's like, is Sick Dan going to be there? And they're like, yeah. It's like, all right. It's like, people like, it was like, if Sick Dan wasn't going to be at your party, you might not have anybody coming to
I'm
your party.
I'm not going to be your party, dude. Sick Dan's not going to be there.
This has nothing to do with any
I don't think anything has had anything to do with this episode.
No. I'm trying to think how to word this.
Okay.
I don't think that this is weird. I think it's weird for a man whose nickname was Sick Dan.
Okay.
Who bragged about all the places that he had sex on a commuter campus and would shit in public places in a disgusting way.
Okay.
When he eventually got married, he took his wife's last name, which is not the type of behavior you would connect with a man who did that.
Sick Dan. Like, Sick Dan to me is like, I'm not taking your name.
Yeah,
you're taking my name. Yeah. You're Sick Elizabeth Dan.
Yeah, I mean, that's my fun Bobby
type
story.
Sick Dan, though. That was a redemption arc.
100%. The only other note that I have written down, and this is just, for whatever reason, again, for a man who has claimed to not like the show Friends, but owns 6 seasons on DVD and have read the tell-all book, The One About Friends.
Yeah.
When they cut to the party, Shiny Happy People is playing by R.E.M. in the background, which I believe at one point was supposed to be the theme song for the show Friends. Yeah.
I think they made the better choice.
No, I mean, for sure.
The theme song is absolutely iconic, as I kicked the show off with the opening line.
Yeah.
Friends, again, is definitely a warm blanket show. It's certain episodes. I think there are certain episodes that just piss me off. The We Were on a Break episode. Nothing drives me more up a fucking wall.
Like, I'll tell you what. Then there's episodes, like, I just recently watched the one with the prom tape, and I legit teared up at the end of it. I was like, oh, my God, that is just beautiful sitcom writing. Like, regardless on if you like or dislike the show, like, that is a very well-crafted storyline. And that episode is really brilliant in the sense of that could be your first episode of Friends, and they do such a good job of, like, really establishing where all of the characters are emotionally in the beginning of that episode so that it still works as a payoff, whether you watched a season and a half leading up to it or just jumped in on that episode. So it's, I was like, wow, this is, I can see why people consider it the best episode of the show, because, like, it is very well crafted.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you did the Dylan thing this time. And that is, I really want to talk about this show. How can we talk about this show?
Yeah.
So I commend you for that. I really enjoyed this episode of Friends. I do have my own issues, but I think my issues more stem from, like, the things like the laugh track, where that's just all the shows at this point in time.
No,
like, I think the laugh track in general just has not held up well for any show.
It sucks because even a show that I think is brilliant, like Seinfeld, is hindered by the laugh track a little bit. Like, it doesn't, how do I word this? I said this about binging before, but I'll say it about laugh tracks too. Like, laugh tracks have only benefited mediocre content.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, if you're writing a masterpiece show, great. And I've heard someone say that about a binging. They say, like, binging has only ever benefited mediocre television, in the sense of, like, if you take a mediocre show, but you're going to binge it in one day, like, great for that show. People sat and watched it. But, like, if you have a legitimately good show like Stranger Things, people will be willing to watch the entire season, even if it's dropping weekly, on a way that they wouldn't for, like, a show that they just feel lukewarm towards. Yep. But they're like, fuck it, it's on. Like, I guess I'll just keep watching. You know what I mean? Like, people will be willing to wait week to week on a show that they care about.
Hey, man, at this point, I'm, like, really into House of the Dragon, so.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. Listen, Only Murders in the Building, loved watching that week to week and texting my friends with our theories. What We Do in the Shadows, love getting that week to week. Everything that Disney Plus has been dropping, I mean, She-Hulk is fucking crushing it.
I haven't
so
watched
far.
It yet.
Like,
I'm sure
first
at the time
fun.
Of this coming out, I will have watched it. But at the time of recording, I have not watched it. I think week to week TV is good. I like week to week TV.
I think it's easier for me to deal with, too, because then there's, like, those days where, like, Netflix drops, like, 2 or 3 shows that I'm interested in all on the same day. And then I'm just, like, overwhelmed by it. And then I watch none of them because I can't decide which
one.
Dude,
look at me with Stranger Things. Like, that shit all dropped, and it took me forever or at least the newest season, where with, again, this is coming from somebody, I'm sure there are definitely people out there that was like, Game of Thrones fucking ended horribly. I'm not watching that shit. I never finished Game of Thrones. Yeah. So, and Teddy was like, I really want to watch House of the Dragon. I watched it and I'm like, I'm fucking in, dude. Like, let's see what happens next. I'm really excited for, I think, is it Ring of Power? Whatever the new Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, there's the Lord of the Rings thing coming soon.
I think
that's
going to be a weekly as well. So I'm looking
literally everybody but Netflix has started to move to a weekly model. And you'd think with the way that their stock is going, like they should maybe be considering giving people a reason to watch week to week on their platform instead of just watching for the weekend that the thing they want to watch has dropped and then just tuning out for a month and a half.
It gives me, and it's so funny because I will also be the same person that admits they're bad at television. It gives me a chance to digest like what I watched, where
it's,
I feel
easier
like
for me to watch six episodes of six different shows every single week than it is for me to watch a six episode show that dropped that weekend in my brain. Like,
I can tell you right now, I can tell you with Stranger Things, I can tell you the main bits. I can't talk to you about individual episodes where I feel like a show that drops weekly, I can talk about like,
because you think
certain
about
episodes.
Yeah. You sit there and you think about it and you do. Well, that's like where the water cooler shows have gotten, because that was the other thing that was kind of stupid, was that we were at this peak of creativity with our television, but everything was on a streaming model. And like, when you have television that great, that's when you have the best water cooler conversations, as they refer to them, because everybody's watching the same thing and they want to discuss it.
To which I like that that's coming back. And I think the last little like wave of those shows was like your Breaking Bads, your early Walking Dead. Before that
Mad
show.
Men for people and Game of Thrones. And like, but now we are getting, I mean, obviously I don't think people are as obsessed with Only Murders in the Building as I am, but like,
I don't even know what you're talking about, to be
honest. Oh my God, you would love it so much. Yeah. It's on Hulu. Okay. It's on Hulu. It's a half hour comedy. And it's written and starring Steve Martin with Martin Short and Selena Gomez.
Okay. I've heard about this.
And Tina Fey. And they are fans of Tina Fey's true crime podcast.
Yeah.
And then someone gets murdered in the apartment complex that they all live in. So they decide to start their own true crime podcast to solve the murder that happened inside their apartment complex. And it's, it's very charming. It's very funny. And it is written like an Agatha Christie novel. Really? So you are like, as you are watching it, you are also trying to solve the mystery along with them. And they do a really great job with like red herrings and false evidence. And like, it's unreliable narrators, like all these different things. And it reminds me a little bit of what makes me love something like Gilmore Girls or Parks and Recreation, where you have this tapestry of a full apartment complex where you can play with all of these different people who live there. Same way we're like Pawnee or like Stars Hollow, like all of the townsfolk in those shows almost become highlight characters more than your main characters.
Yeah,
that very quickly happens with this show too, because they're interviewing every person in the apartment complex, and now they've done two seasons, so like characters who maybe showed up in two episodes in the first season, like now the show is popular, so then they just keep showing up to try to get more airtime on the podcast by being like, I just thought of something else that I remembered that happened. Like, so like it is a very, it's charming. You would like it. And
I'll definitely check that
out. It's quick and easy. 20 episodes, 22 minutes an episode. That's like fucking no problem at all. That's easy peasy lemon squeezy, man.
I'll do it. But dude,
all right. Well, Dylan, I'll be there for you, buddy.
Dude, when it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or, you know, even your year.
Mm.
I'll be there for you too, man. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Whoa, oh, whoa, now we won't stop till the big ball drops on New Year's. Happy holiday. Have a great, great, great holiday. Have a merry, 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 merry happy holiday.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.